Oder das wäre mal interessant. Ich würde gerne mal wissen, wer da drin war.
Das kriegen wir doch über die Auswertung.
At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to Monika Buttgereit, Head of Investor Relations.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you to our 9-month call this morning. We will have an audio file of this conference call, which will be available later on the website. At the same time, we have a presentation online, which is accompanying this call. It's a pleasure now to hand over to Michael Ramos at this point in time, CFO of Biotest.
Thank you very much. Michael Ramos here. Also a warm welcome from my side for this 9-month call. The current year is characterized for Biotest by quite some structural changes. During the year, as you may recall, in January, the takeover by Tiancheng International was completed. And in the process of being taken over by a Chinese group, we had to deal with the American Foreign Trade Investment Committee, which put some pressure on us to sell and divest all our U.S. subsidiaries. And we had been able to close such a sale at the beginning of August of this year, and this had, of course, as you can imagine, quite an impact on our business. It is reflected in our numbers that all the previous year's numbers have been adjusted accordingly, so they exclude all activities out of the U.S. business which we have sold, as I said, in the beginning of August to Grifols. On top of that, we are continuing, of course, to finalize Biotest Next Level, our big expansion project consisting out of building up a new manufacturing facility, but even more important, developing three new products to be produced in such a new facility. With this summary, I will then step into the financial figures and will ask you to turn to page number 5 of the presentation, where the sales development is picked up compared to last year, 2017. We achieved in 2018 roughly 290 million euros in sales, which had been 10% more than in the previous year period. And this 10% reflects probably an increase of 4% as a normal growth and a 6% pickup compared to the situation in 2017 when we had reduced sales due to the recall of human albumin. You see that in the segment of therapy, the increase by 16% resulted in revenues of 253 million compared to 218 million the year before. And plasma services are this year in 2018 doing not so well as the years before. Here you see that the political difficult situations in the Middle East have immediate impact on our business, our toll manufacturing business we have with countries in this area. So that's the reason why you see here a minus 21% decrease compared to last year. Our merchandise business, which is shown under other segments, was developed slightly better than last year with 4.6 million compared to 4.3 million in 2017. Now, if you look at the regions on page 6 of our presentation, you see that the biggest increase we see in Middle East, Africa, and France with plus 17.6% compared to last year. But even the biggest portion, Central Europe, has seen growth of 5.5% compared to last year. So the growth were widespread over all regions in the world. Turning to the profitability and our earnings before interest and tax numbers on page 7, you see that, of course, due to the bad numbers in 2017 influenced by the recall of human albumin, we are able to show a positive earnings figure with 5.1%, 39 million more than last year. The biggest swing you can see, of course, in the therapy business, where a positive 8.2 marks a 35.4 million increase compared to last year, while plasma and services are almost 0.2 million, almost no positive results there due to the decrease of our sales in this segment. The other segments show not only the profitability of our merchandise business, but also include all other costs which are referring to corporate activities, for instance, the costs for the takeover, which is reflected in those minus 8.9 with 6.8 million in last year, 2017, and with 1.3 million as the costs in the minus 3.3 million as the EBIT number for the segments in the first 9 months of 2018. Now, just looking at the EBIT of 5.1 million, you should take into mind that those earnings numbers are highly influenced by our structural induced expenses. And as in the previous analyst conferences, we would also like to show the details of this earnings components as they are now depicted on page 8 of our presentation, where we start with a reported EBIT of 5.1 million euros. Keep in mind that we are investing heavily in our future by developing this Biotest Next Level project, and facilities and the three new products have cost 37.8 million last year, which had to be, of course, financed by the normal ongoing business. We still have costs and expenses for 3.1 million for the monoclonal antibodies, which we are looking a partner for. And then, of course, we had 2017 human albumin recall, which hasn't occurred in 2018. But we had still some strategic realignment costs in combination or in connection with the Creat takeover of 1.3 million. If we would take out such costs and expenses, we would have come to an earnings number of 47.3 million euros for our normal operating plasma selling activities, and that is a 16.3% return on sales, which is quite okay for a company of our size in this segment. Turning to page 9, you see that the 37.8 million euros we spent for Biotest Next Level can be split in 12.6 million for ramp-up of the facility. The facility is almost completed. We have, of course, the first people qualifying the equipment, test the equipment, and start then in the months to come also the test runs, the batch productions, the consistency batches for starting the normal operating activities in this new facility. At the same time, we continue to develop our three new products for this facility, IgG Next Generation, Trimodulin with an IgM concentrate, and Fibrinogen. And you see here also what we have spent for the development of those three products. Keep in mind, IgG Next Generation, there are two phase 3 studies ongoing, and also the phase 3 study is ongoing with Fibrinogen, while Trimodulin, the concluded phase 2b study in 2017, are in the phase to prepare the next clinical study also for this IgM concentrate. All those numbers we have presented to you reflect the activities in the continuing operations. We had, as I said before, also been able to divest U.S. activities and assets, and the deal was closed in August of this year. We sold the activities to Grifols in Spain and realized also some extraordinary income. And all those activities are shown in the discontinued operations. And on page 10, you see that on top of the earnings after tax from continuing operations of minus 6.6, we achieved a positive 197.5 million from the divestment of the U.S. assets. So that the earnings after tax for Biotest Group, continuing operations as well as discontinued operations altogether, amounts to 190.9 million euros this year. Next page shows what we have divested. On the right-hand side, the discontinued operations, which have been put into a U.S. trust first and then being sold out of the U.S. trust to Grifols. As I said, we achieved $286 million as purchase price, and Biotest Group remains now with 8 affiliates in Austria, Switzerland, Italy, Hungary, France, Spain, UK, and Brazil. and 9 cell plasma collection centers in Germany, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. We spent the proceeds from the US divestiture in an amount of 244.5 million euros, which is the equivalent of the 286 million US dollars, as shown on page 12 of our presentation. We repaid bank debts and promissory notes in the amount of 190 million, paid back a shareholder loan of 50 million, and have then left 4.3 million in cash from this transaction. Having said that we paid back bank loans, this is changed also, of course, the structure of our lenders. And as you can see in, on page 13, 290 million euros are now being provided as a loan by our shareholder, Tiancheng International. 30.2 million are still outstanding promissory notes. This number was substantially reduced at the end of the 5 years term at end of October of this year when the first, when the 5 year term of the promissory notes expired. And then we have 21.1 million euros other loans so that no commercial bank is a lender right now for Biotest. All our money, the majority of our money comes from our shareholder, our majority shareholder, Tiancheng International. Turning to the balance sheet of continuing and discontinued operations, you see, of course, on the asset side that current assets increased by 51 million, and it's a split between inventories and accounts receivables. We will see that in a few seconds. Our non-current assets went up by 20 million, which reflects the ongoing investments in the Biotest Next Level. And on the equity and liability side, you see that in the 411 million non-current liabilities, 290 million shareholder loans are included, as well as 88 million pension provisions. If we turn to the cash flow of the continuing operations, we start with a positive cash flow out of our operating activities with almost 28 million. We spend then 85 million by building up our working capital or reducing our trade payables. We had to pay 4.3 million in interest and tax expenses, so that the overall cash flow from operating activities, including changes in working capital, amounts to minus 61.5 million. And the big change in working capital is listed in detail on page 16 of our presentation, where you can see that we built up inventories, we increased our trade receivables. Recall that we have sold, we have an increase in sales of 27 million, and unfortunately not every of our customers paid immediately, so that led to an increase of those 17 million in trade receivables. We reduced trade payables by a substantial amount. We paid, you know, the invoices for Biotest Next Level, so that is the reason why there is such a huge reduction. So overall, we come to a change in working capital positions of 85 million euros. And I think with that, I can hand over now to Bernhard Ehmer to give you more insights and background information about strategic activities and positioning.
Hello, good morning also from my side. I would like to continue with page number 18 and give you an update on the activities with our major investor, with CREAD. So CREAD and RAAS Shanghai, they announced in spring this year to initiate a capital increase against cash against cash and contribution in kind. And this means that CREAD will contribute Tiancheng as contribution in kind into RAAS Shanghai. And why are we interested? Because part of these cash proceeds may be used for future investments for Biotest and BPL. And during this process, which will likely be completed in the first half of 2019, there would be no change at the level of Bytest AG, so no structural change or no change in legal entity. And a decision about the future structure of Tianzheng's European entities, means Bytest and BPO, will be taken at the earliest in the second half of 2019. So it's now coming to our most relevant activity. We are focusing on since years and also for the next couple of years is Biotech's next level on page 19. So you see here on the right side of the slide, you see some pictures of the new facility. And in August, so we integrated an innovative new technology. This is a system for virus inactivation, and this will be used in our new production process for IgG and IgM. And in September, so we qualified all the major components of our equipment, and we could say that from the beginning of next year, so we will have all equipment, everything qualified, and we are running the facility, so it's not anymore that we are dependent on our providers. So we will take over the entire facility, and we are going to work there and start to prepare for the first consistency batches for our new IgG compound. So on page 20, I'm talking about the development of the products. You know that we are working on the IgG next generation. This is a successor of Intratect, and will continue to be used in patients with dysfunction of their immune system, as well as in autoimmune disorders. We continue to plan for global commercialization of the product. And just to repeat why this was done and what's the key for us. So we have a new efficient production process with a high Ig yield established, and the IgG is a master product for our new facility. And clinical development moves forward smoothly. So the phase 3 in primary immune deficiency, this study is performed in the United States and Europe, is completed with regards to all adults which need to be included. And we extended the study also to have the remaining children we need also to be included. So we believe, we know that we stop the recruitment of children and in the entire study in January 2019. The same is true for the second study we are performing in Europe in idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura. And this study is only required in Europe, and we are performing the study in Europe. And the recruitment of patients is nearly completed, and we expect that this will be done at the end of the year. And with regards to a neurologic indication, it's a so-called CIDP indication, we are planning to start a study at the end of next year. And so we had discussions with authorities, in particular with the FDA. And so we are here on track to initiate all necessary activities in 2019. So going to the next page, talks about trimodulin and fibrinogen. Trimodulin, you know, is a, formerly we called it IgM concentrate. So we are here also preparing everything to start the phase 3 trial in severe community-acquired pneumonia. We got feedback from the FDA and PI with regard to the clinical program as well on the manufacturing processes. And based on that, you know, we are now in the position to advance this project. And the communication with the experts and also the scientific advices we got from the authorities clearly led at the end, not only to clear pass forward for the project, but also, in our opinion, to an improved process at the end of the day, which will have a positive impact also on the tolerability of the product in patients. Then coming to fibrinogen, here we are basically doing now two phase three trials. One is in the genetic deficiency of fibrinogen. The study is ongoing. And we also started in the beginning of March this year a study in patients with acquired fibrinogen deficiency. These are patients undergoing surgery with a blood loss of more than 1 liter of blood. And so we are in the middle of the study, which will continue recruitment until the year 2020. On page 22, you see an overview about our research and development projects. Today, you know, we are with BNL products in development, you saw. This is what I said. Otherwise, we are doing life cycle management with existing projects, for example, with Cytotect, where we got approvals in a couple of European countries in the last year and this year. But we are doing all those activities for pentaglobine and other products. So if we go forward to 21, we'll see that we will have an approval for IgG next generation in the indications PID and ITP. We will have also from our new facility additional albumin. And we will have also, not from the new facility, but we are working on still on the kind of life cycle. We are still working on our plasma-derived factor 8 hemoctene, and here we have also a new formulation and concentration on the market. Beyond 21, of course, we will have then further indications for IgG next generation, the subcutaneous application. That's important to offer this option to patients, as well as the neurologic indication, which is called CIDP. Then trimodulin, we expect also an approval beyond 21 and approvals for fibrinogen in congenital and acquired. In addition, we are developing a recombinant factor 8, but we have here very rigid expectations. So there are a couple of things we need to be successful. Number one, we'd like to see a relevant prolongation of the half-life. Second one, it is important that the patients do not develop antibodies. So therefore, we work with good technology on the reduction of the immunogenicity of the molecule. And the third topic is that we also intend to have this molecule ready for subcutaneous use. Next page. In our industry, on page 23, the industry is important access to plasma. And after the divestment of the US plasma donation centers, we are working on an accelerated expansion in Europe. So we have today 19 centers. We recently acquired also a new center in Germany, which is not part of the 19. And what we are going to do, we are going to plan to expand our plasma collection center network in Europe by 2 to 3 centers per year going forward. On next page, you see also one, outcome of our collaboration with RAS Shanghai. For example, Biotest Hungaria is now distributing and selling the first Shanghai RAS product, and this is an IgG. The first patients have successfully been treated with gamma RAS in the beginning of October 2018. So what do we see on page 25? So the guidance. What we see in general is that there is an increased demand for immunoglobulins worldwide. So we see, compared to earlier years, an increased growth rate all over the world. Overall, we see now a demand increase by 9%, and this is everywhere. So in the United States and as well in Europe, there's an increase in the range of 7, 8, 9%. And outside these two continents, it's above 10%. And in addition, what we also noticed in the last couple of months, there is a price increase for the molecules, for immunoglobulins. What Michael earlier mentioned, that of course we see also uncertainties in a couple of markets, in the particular in the Middle East, due to the boycott, the embargo from the U.S. administration. And this led already to a decrease in turnover in our toll manufacturing activities. Overall, our EBIT guidance of 10 to 12 million until year end is unchanged. In summary, basically we are focusing on two things. Number one is Biotest Next Level with regard to the completion of the hardware of the facility and, of course, the development of the three new molecules. This is in our focus, and this will remain in our focus. And on the other side, what we also are going to intensify is the opening of new plasma collection centers in Europe. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. And would we now ready for your questions? Would be helpful if you could mention your name and the company you work for. Do you have any questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel that question, please press 9 and star again. Please press 9 and star now to state a question. The first question comes from Klaus Schlote. Your line is open now.
Yes, good morning. Ich möchte lieber in Deutsch sprechen, wenn es möglich ist. Klaus Schlote von Solventis Beteiligung AG. Dieses Plasma, was in Europa gesammelt wird, kann man das auch verwenden für Moleküle, die dann in China vertrieben werden? Oder ist China weiterhin ausschließlich, ist man da ausschließlich auf US-Plasma angewiesen?
Okay, also zum jetzigen Zeitpunkt kann man nur US-Plasma, also Produkte, die, also es geht ja eigentlich nur um Albumin. China erlaubt nur an Import von, the question was whether one could use European plasma for products shipped to the United States, to China. China. And so my answer is, China accepts only albumin from an imported product, and they only accept this product to be manufactured out of U.S. plasma. There are considerations that this might change, but for the time being, it is like that.
Okay, dann habe ich noch eine Frage zum Bericht, zum neuen Monatsbericht. Da steht ja auf Seite 8. Dass eine Freigabe von den britischen Kartellbehörden erfolgte bezüglich Gespräche zwischen Biotest und BPL, um eine Möglichkeit für eine verstärkte Zusammenarbeit auszuloten und mögliche Synergieeffekte zu identifizieren. Was ist da der Hintergrund? Warum braucht man da eine Freigabe von den britischen Kartellbehörden und braucht man auch Freigabe von deutschen Kartellbehörden?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stote. The question you are raising is, why is approval necessary by the UK antitrust authority? Please remember when CREAT Tianjin took over for Biotest, they owned already BPL in UK, and since Biotest owned their own subsidiary in UK as well, you would all of a sudden have two UK-based entities owned by the same shareholder. And this addition of a second entity based in UK to a shareholder who owns already activity in the United Kingdom, BPL at that time, triggered the necessity to have the approval or to get the approval of the authorities. And this approval was granted then, I guess, in April last year or April this year. And since then, we are allowed to talk to each other because there's no longer any risk that there would be any antitrust issue arising out of the fact that now two operations owned by the same shareholder in UK would exist if they would cooperate. You know that also in the past we have got intermediates from BPL. We have delivered in the past plasma to BPL, so we know each other, and we are now in the process of seeing if there could be done more in a closer relationship of both companies.
Können Sie da schon mehr zu sagen, was man sich da vorstellen kann, also verstärkte Zusammenarbeit und mögliche Synergieeffekte? Geht das letztlich auf den Zusammenschluss der Unternehmen hinaus oder was muss man sich da vorstellen?
The question is if you could say a little bit more about the content of the cooperation discussions. If you look at the activities of Biotest and BPL, you will see that they are both very complementary. Well, you know that we have been forced to give up our U.S. activities, while BPL has a very strong sales force in the United States. So it's, of course, naturally that we consider the BPL U.S. organization as the distribution partner in the future for our IgG Next Generation. And this kind of cooperation is meant when we are talking here about closer relationship or closer activities of both companies together.
Da gab's Gerüchte im Markt, dass die dass dieses angestrebte Beherrschungsgewinnabführungsvertrag zwischen CREAT und Biotest, dass der abgeblasen wird. Ich meine, jetzt in den ganzen Ausführungen, die Sie jetzt gemacht haben, kann man diesen Eindruck nicht bestätigen. Auf der anderen Seite dauert es nun ja auch schon fast ein knappes Jahr, seitdem diese Prüfungen angekündigt wurden. Ist das jetzt wirklich noch eine ernsthafte Option, dass es da einen Beherrschungs- und Gewinnabführungsvertrag geben wird? Können Sie was dazu sagen?
Ja, you asked a question about the domination agreement, which was announced as maybe being installed of Tiancheng at the beginning, I think in February of this year. And as Bernard Emer pointed out to you, right now Tiancheng, or CREAT, the ultimate owner of the Biotest shares, has announced that they would integrate Tiancheng International, including the Biotest shares, into Shanghai RAAS in the procedure of a capital increase with a contribution in kind. And during this process, you know that, you know, you have to write a prospectus and have to publish a prospectus. You have to describe the whole procedure. You have to describe the efforts you are contributing to Shanghai RAAS. And since Biotest is the underlying asset in this whole transaction, the Biotest AG group should stay as it is right now, which means it prohibits for the time being the conclusion of a domination and profit and transfer agreement. And that's the reason why you haven't heard anything about this subject anymore, because first priority for CREAT is to contribute Tiancheng International into Shanghai RAAS. And that is the reason why Mr. Emer pointed out that till the second half of next year, no other decision will be taken about Biotest AG domination agreement or whatever.
At the earliest.
At the earliest, yeah.
Okay, dann vielleicht noch zur Finanzierungsseite. Da ist ja der neue Großaktionär ist ja der, wenn ich es richtig überblicke, der ausschließliche Kreditgeber für Biotest derzeit. Wie sieht das aus von den Fälligkeiten her in den nächsten Quartalen oder Jahren? Wird dann Tiancheng auch die Gelder, die dann nötig werden oder refinanziert werden müssen, wieder einschießen, also ein Darlehen geben, oder wie wird man auch wieder mit Banken dort zusammenarbeiten, Bankkredite verlängern oder neue aufnehmen?
You ask a question about the refinancing structure of Vitus right now. You're completely right. Right now, GEA Tianjin International is our biggest lender with pointed out 290 million euros. That has covered all obligations for us to repay, you know, our bank debt. So with commercial banks, we have no longer any repayment obligation. There are still was at the end of September 30 million promissory notes outstanding. Here we have repaid at the end of October roughly 22 million euros back of them, so only 8 million are outstanding, which we can repay out of our cash positions. With regard to future investments, Bernhard Ehmer pointed out that we are going to open up more plasma centers in Europe, so there might be additional need for CapEx to invest in such new centers, and we will, of course, you know, go back to our banks and ask them if they are willing, you know, to finance or partly finance such new investments in such new centers.
So there are no agreements that Crea Jiancheng will commit further money to Biotest?
There is no written commitment in place yet, because there was no necessity, you know, to ask for additional money from them yet. If, and you would do it the same way, you know, if in some way we would not get attractive money from banks, we can always go back to our major shareholder.
Okay. Dankeschön.
Welcome.
At the moment, there are no further questions. If you would still like to raise a question, please press 9 and star. There are no further questions.
All right. So with this, we've then come to the end of our today's call. Thank you very much for listening in. Thank you very much for your questions. And then we would, will be publishing next numbers on 28th of March next year. Have a good time. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.